Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's the amazing Rico Bronya podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Bronya, 21-9 and feeling fine. Welcome to episode 473 of Rico Bronya. This episode of Rico is why it's really important to subscribe to the Rico Bronya, because you're probably used to us doing Ricos, whether you consume it live on YouTube or you download it in your podcast feed, coming out late at night and then possibly really early in the morning. But sometimes we pop a Rico out in the middle of the day. So this is a very special Wednesday morning / afternoon pop edition of Rico Bronya. But wherever you're listening to us and whenever you're listening to us, we appreciate it. Two things we'll focus on today. Obviously, the Mets win against the Diamondbacks game one of the three-game series, as they continue to mash offensively. And also Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen did an interview with John Heyman the other day and said some very interesting things that we will analyze here on Rico Bronya. Let's start with the win against Arizona, because, and this is not me being negative when I say this, this is me being a baseball fan. I'm waiting patiently for the other shoe to drop. And that doesn't mean I think the Mets are going to fall apart. It doesn't mean I think they're going to lose 10 out of 13. I just assume that in baseball, you're going to cool off. All good teams, all great teams cool off. And this Met team, 30 games into the season, has not really had any period of time in which they've lost a lot of games. They've had a 2-game losing streak. They've had some stretches where they lose, you know, 3 out of 5. But for the most part, we haven't seen, and I'm not trying to jinx them right now, I'm just trying to analyze what we've seen over a month. We haven't seen them struggle in any kind of consistent way when it comes to wins and losses. So when you look at the way they lost Sunday against Washington, you look ahead to the fact that the Diamondbacks are coming to town. They're a hot octane offensive team. You've got a tricky road trip coming up with St. Louis and then Arizona again. You've got the Yankees in a couple of weeks. I'm sitting here waiting, not for the Mets to collapse, for the Mets to struggle. And that's normal. And some of us will panic, and some of us will say, calm down, don't worry. And on Tuesday night at Citi Field, another electric crowd at Citi Field, they eliminated all doubt, really, in the second inning of this game. Because the offense explodes all over Eduardo Rodriguez. They do it with the bottom of the order. Tyrone Taylor coming through out of absolute nowhere, jumping on a first pitch and ripping a double into the left field corner. And then we get to watch the beauty of Luis Angel Acuna go from first to home and score easily on that rip double by Tyrone Taylor. Then you've got Jose Azokar, who's only in the lineup because Brandon Nimmo's got a stomach ache, and Azokar, behind in the count, rips a 2-out RBI single. For a team that has struggled hitting with runners in scoring position all year long, here is Jose Azokar, who, in my opinion, shouldn't even be on the roster, but I lost that battle. Shouldn't have been in the lineup if Brandon Nimmo doesn't get ill after a 9 RBI day and he's ripping a base hit to right field. And then you've got Lindor also behind in the count, batting right-handed where he hasn't clicked yet this season, hitting a 2-run home run that really put the exclamation point on that four-run second inning. And if that wasn't enough, here's Starling Marte hitting a bomb of a home run. If that wasn't enough, here's Luis Angel Acuña getting a base hit in his fourth or fifth consecutive at-bat. And here's that man again, Tyrone Taylor, behind in the count, 1-2. How many hits did the Mets have behind in the count in this game, coming through with an RBI single after Acuña showed the wheels and stole second? Like, this was an offensive, orgasmic thing to watch. Like, you've got the bottom of the order, you've got a guy struggling from one side of the plate, and you got everyone doing it behind in the count. It was incredible to watch. And jumping on a solid pitcher like Eduardo Rodriguez, giving David Peterson a little bit of wiggle room, not asking your pitching staff to be perfect, which at times they've asked them to do. So you get the offense on Eduardo Rodriguez. You tack on another one when Pete Alonso hits an absolute bomb, which reverse jinxed by Gary Cohen, who says literally before the pitch, boy, Pete hasn't hit a home run in a while. And when he said that, here's what's going through my mind. And this is a part of what's so amazing about 21-9. There are a lot of things, small things, big things, however you want to describe it, that are not fully clicking, and yet they're winning anyway. So Juan Soto gets a lot of attention because he's going to make $800 million. And Juan Soto, while he's hitting the ball hard, and I'm not overly concerned about him, and he did have a pretty good series against Washington where he was a finalist for the Rico I'm the Man Now star of the series, he still hasn't hit a home run at City. He's still not driving in a lot of runs. I get it. He's hitting. The facts back that up, but he's not hitting to the expectations. I love the fact that the Mets are winning anyway. I think that's an incredible sign. So when Gary was talking about Pete and how Pete Alonso hadn't hit a home run in a while, I'm now thinking to myself, how great is that? There was a time last year where if Pete wasn't hitting a home run, he's useless. And that is an opinion a lot of Met fans had. Hey, Pete, it's a home run. Great. When he doesn't, he's a useless baseball player. Forget the defense for a second. We'll get to that in a minute or so. His offense and his at-bats have been so consistently good this year, whether it's drawing walks, whether it's going the other way, whether it's ripping doubles, that despite his home run slump, it hasn't mattered. It hasn't been a big deal. He's still productive. He's still hitting 340. He's still playing gold glove defense. So what's been so awesome to watch about Pete this season is he is no longer, at least for the first month of the season, obviously a lot can change, good and bad, he is not the one-trick pony that he used to be. So credit to Pete Alonso. And speaking of Pete Alonso, from jump in this game, if you want to define game one of this three-game series against the Arizona Diamondbacks in one way, you would define it with beautiful defense. And it started from the beginning. Leadoff hitter for the Diamondbacks, Padromo, rips a single. They're set up, runner on first, nobody out, especially with Corbin Carroll and Grandin Grichuk, who's had a great year coming up. Suarez had the four home run game a couple days ago. Arizona could have jumped all over David Peterson. And Corbin Carroll rips a ball that should have been a base hit. It should have been first and third, nobody out to start the game. And instead, Pete Alonso makes a headlong dive. That changes the inning completely. So we'll get into the fourth inning, which may have been the greatest defensive inning you'll ever see. But when you talk about the import of defensive plays in the first inning of this game, it could have gone sideways for David Peterson if it wasn't for Pete Alonso making an incredible diving play. Then you get to the second inning. Gabriel Moreno, one out, nobody on, rips one. There's that man again. Another incredible diving play by Pete Alonso. And in this case, he completes the play that screwed him up on Sunday as he makes the perfect toss to David Peterson covering first base. So you add two really good defensive plays by Pete Alonso that were important because when he makes that play in the first inning, that changes the trajectory of this game. First and third, nobody out. I don't know what that game turns into. I don't know what David Peterson's performance turns into. And then you've got the fourth inning. And I would argue that it is not hyperbole. And many have already said this, so I will certainly not be the first because I wasn't live tweeting the game and we waited a day to do a Rico. So this has been said before, but you are right if you claim that is the greatest defensive inning you've ever seen. Because I cannot think of an inning where three outs are recorded in as insane a way as the three outs were recorded in the top of the fourth inning on Tuesday night, April 29th at Citi Field. First, you've got the Vientos dive, hit the ball in the air to Lindor, 5-6-3 out, which was unique to say the least. Great play, but also really, really unique. Then you've got a catch of the year candidate in Tyrone Taylor. Because there is no way, and I don't know why, Keith Hernandez said this on the broadcast too, and I was doing the exact same thing. When that ball was hit off the bat by Lourdes Gurriel, I'm staring at the baseball, and I see where Taylor is, and I'm like, there's no way he's catching this. This is a double off the wall. Right now it's 7-0, so I'm not entirely worried, but okay, it's a double off the wall. And to watch him somehow run that down, I think that was more impressive than the dive. The fact that he made up the ground he made up on, as that ball was in the air, he makes a headlong dive. He makes an absolutely stupid catch. And that was catch of the year material. So the first out is circus-like, something you never see. The second one is just a headlong dive. And the third one, which was pretty good by Lindor, is like, whatever. You know, a Ray Ordonez sliding pickup by Francisco Lindor, who spoils us because since his bad start defensively, he is back to being Francisco Lindor. That was a marvelous, marvelous defensive inning. And outside of the Vientos era, where Pete couldn't make the scoop, this was a near flawless defensive game. So think about what the Mets did over the last 72 hours, and this should pump the hell out of you as a Met fan. They suffer as bad a loss as you're going to have. I don't care what your record is. You lead 7-1 in the seventh inning. You watch a ball fall because of the sun. You watch your bullpen implode. You watch your defense screw you on the final play. You fail to score with 2-1 and nobody out. You add it all up. It was a terrible loss. And like I said, following that game, it's how you respond. And how have they responded? Oh, let's do some math. Why don't we? 27 runs in two games. And very little out of Juan Soto. And that's great. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. If they're getting 27 runs in two games and their best offensive player is not driving any of them in, that's a great sign of things to come. There's a lot of things about this Met team that will get back to the mean, if you will. Like the starting pitching is likely, even though it continues to, it's likely to not maintain the best ERA in Major League Baseball. And even if it does, it probably won't be in the low twos, which it continues to be after five innings, one run from David Peterson. So we should expect that that's going to be more average. But you know what else we should expect? Juan Soto to be Juan Soto. And that is a great sign for this Met team. Wonderful win. David Peterson was weird. Like five innings, one run, you'll take any day of the week. He only threw 85 pitches, but I get why Mendy took him out. He was getting hit hard. Like even in that fifth inning, give him credit for working out of it, but he gave up that two RBI double to Barossa. And then he was able to get the big outs, especially against Corbin Carroll, to limit the damage. But we talked about the defense and how many great plays they made. If that defense isn't there, this is a very different performance. And I'm not qualifying. Five innings, one run. I will take it. Wonderful. But I'm more defending Mendy for why in the sixth inning, even with a big lead at that point, 8-1, saying I'm going to get him out. Because I think there were two things he was thinking about. Number one, I got to get Jose Buteau right. And sometimes to get a guy right, you got to bring him into low leverage situations. And I thought that bringing Buteau in sixth inning of an 8-1 game is the perfect time to do it. Let's see if we can get him right. And he looked different. Got a lot of swing and misses, I think on a slider, struck out four guys. It was a really solid performance by Jose Buteau. Does he go back into the circle of trust? No. But the only way to earn your way back is to pitch well. So you get two innings out of Buteau, and you think you get him right. And then you can throw Kevin Hergett, who's only going to be here for a day, right into the weeds. Go get me six outs. Just don't implode, which it looked like he was going to do when he gave up a run in the eighth inning with two outs and nobody on and gave up back-to-back hits in the ninth. But ultimately, even though Reed Garrett had to warm up, they get out of it. And so the Mets save their bullpen, which is so important during a stretch like this where, A, you don't have any off days, and B, you're going to use an opener or bulk guy or whatever they plan on doing in game two of this series against Arizona. But they continue to roll. They continue to dominate at Citi Field, 13-1. I feel bad now when I go to games. Like, I'm going to Wednesday night's game. There will likely be a drive home Rico right after, very safe drive home Rico. I'm almost saying I'm going to be bad luck. Though I'm undefeated too. I think I'm 6-0 or 7-0, and they're 13-1. So all is good so far with the New York Mets as they beat the Diamondbacks. The negative news before we get to Cohen's comments is obviously AJ Minter. It's kind of a surprise that it could be out for the season, but it just sucks. It sucks for him. It sucks for us. Minter had pitched well. Obviously, he had an injury history in the past. Remember, he missed a lot of time with the hip stuff. But right now, based on the way Mendy spoke before Tuesday's game, it doesn't sound good for AJ Minter. It puts more of an emphasis on the importance of signing Brooks Raley, which they did a few days ago, which we talked about. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. He loves being here. Clearly, there's a reason he wanted to come back. He's got one of the great country songs as his warm-up music. And so I hate this phrase, but I'll use it anyway. It'll be like a trade deadline acquisition when Brooks Raley makes his debut, which if I had to guess, I'm thinking it's going to be late June. Obviously, once he's put on rehab assignment, there's a 30-day clock, and the Mets should probably use most of that clock to make sure he is recovered and ready to go. So the negative news is it sucks to lose AJ Minter. It feels like a waste of a one-year deal, essentially. But Brooks Raley was a key signing just a few days ago, and that's going to be one thing to keep an eye on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Come trade deadline. Speaking of trade deadlines, Steve Cohen will comment on that. But I pulled a couple of clips from Steve's interview with John Heyman that I thought maybe you and the Rico audience would find fascinating. Let's start with Pete Alonso. Pete's having an outstanding year. We all know he has an opt-out. Here is Steve Cohen on the future of Pete Alonso.
He's gotten off to a fantastic start. He's a fan favorite. We're thrilled that, obviously he's on the team and, we know we can opt out at the end of the year and we'll deal with it then. I just dealt with this 2 months ago. do I have to start dealing with this again? Let it kind of, play itself out. Obviously Pete's going to explore his market like he should, and I'm supportive of that, and we'll see where it goes.
So I don't take that as he's gone. I take that as Steve Cohen is eliminating any thought to the idea that the Mets are going to extend him right now. And as much as I would love Pete Alonso back, I want Pete Alonso back. So if you told me today, the Mets and Pete Alonso have extended on a 5-year contract, I'd be ecstatic. But I also know why that doesn't make sense for either party. It just doesn't. If we take a step back and we try to be fair about it, it doesn't make sense for Pete because he is having a monster year. And if he can complete the monster year, wouldn't you want to take that to free agency and shop it around to every team? That's number one. Number two, if you're Steve Cohen, you don't know what his market is, even if he does have a monster year. There's a risk attached to it. So you'd be negotiating blindly if you're Steve Cohen, much like you'd be negotiating blindly if you're Pete Alonso, because I don't think you can use Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s contract. I don't really think you can use any contract. I think it's one of those scenarios where, unfortunately, we're going to sweat it out in free agency. He's going to go to free agency. We're going to hear a lot of rumors. We're going to hear big demands from Scott Boras, assuming he's still Pete's agent. And ultimately, it is going to come down to what someone is willing to offer him and how far the Mets are willing to go. There was a lot of talk during the offseason that, well, the Mets didn't want him back. And I never bought that. I never bought that when Joe B said it. I never bought it when Hoff said it, because what I responded with is, no, they want him back, but they're not going to negotiate against themselves. And they didn't. And ultimately, they made a deal, and they probably were very nice about the deal that they made. In this offseason, if, name the team, it doesn't even matter, the Angels offer him a five-year, $165 million deal, then the Mets have a choice to make. And that's the debate, I guess, we'll all have. Is that worth matching? Is that worth beating to make sure Pete comes back? That's what it comes down to. And so I think that those comments from Steve, half jokingly about the negotiations, but truthfully how annoying it was, is just a reminder, I'm not going to do it now. Have a big year, go to free agency, we'll see what happens. When Pete first re-signed, I said here on the Rico, I said it on the Fan as well, that my gut tells me he's only going to be here for a year. That the Mets got him back on a one-year deal, he's in his 30s, they're going to let him go. The bigger the year he has, the more I feel less confident with that comment, more that I think the Mets will ultimately bring him back. And I'll tell you why. Number one, they're going to need him. I think when a guy has a great year, you kind of say to yourself, ah, boy, what are we without him? I mean, think about this team. They're 21-9. They've had a great year. Where are they without Pete Alonso? I guess the question would be, well, who's replacing him? If it's Brett Beatty, where are they without Pete Alonso? But I also thought that this past offseason, the Mets could have survived losing Pete from a PR standpoint. As much as I wouldn't have liked it, as much as I would have screamed about it, or Beningo would have screamed about it, they signed Juan Soto. And so most Met fans were still buying tickets. They were still giddy. They were still winning the PR battle of the offseason. If Pete has a big year and he goes into free agency, and there really isn't, looking ahead, any kind of big, sexy free agent the Mets are going to go after, I don't know if Steve Cohen, the businessman, is going to feel comfortable losing a face of the franchise kind of player and not having anything sexy to replace it with. It's just, yeah, we had a great year and we lost Pete, but we believe in Ryan Clifford. We'll see you later. I know David Stearns may be willing to do that. I'm not sure Steve Cohen will. So I think the bigger the year Pete has, the more from a business perspective, he may feel pressure to match whatever his biggest offer is. So ultimately, the takeaway from that is don't expect any mid-season contract extension. As much as we may want it, it's not going to happen. Another thing that Steve said, we talked about the deadline before, about the idea of maybe adding a left-handed reliever, especially with AJ Minter going down. We'll see where the rotation is in July. Right now, it's too tough to tell. You're 21-9. Everything's clicking. It doesn't feel like you have a lot of holes. I promise you, come mid-July, there will be holes, and we will be screaming about it. So Steve was asked the question, all right, you've spent a lot of money. Will you continue to spend money potentially at the trade deadline?
Obviously, every dollar I spend costs me another dollar or $1.10. And so it's not cheap. Saying that, you know, if we're competitive and we're in it, we'll see what's out there. And if we think there are pieces to add, I'm sure we will.
So you know what that means? You're damn right I'm going to spend. If David Stearns comes to me and says, let's go, we need this, we need this, we need this, I will go out and do it. So no surprise there. This will be an aggressive team at the trade deadline. I think they have actually good reason to be, not only because they're really good, but they may have a depth of middle infield prospects that they could trade that have value, whether it's a recovering Ronnie Mauricio, whether it's Jet Williams. I think Luis Angel Acuña, you don't even call a prospect anymore because he's playing every day at the major league level, but they may have a surplus of prospects they could use as bait to try to add that last piece. Another thing Steve was asked about, and we talked a little bit about this on the Rico, and on Evan and Tiki, and that is the idea of naming Francisco Lindor captain. So let's go right to the top with the owner of this team. What about Francisco Lindor being the captain of the New York Mets?
The whole captain thing, I think, has been sort of a media-driven discussion. And, the way I look at it is, you know, let the locker room figure it out on its own. You have a lot of veterans in there, and it seems to be working the way it is. So, why then go to another place that, you know, has its own risks? So, I mean, listen, I'm always open to the discussion, but ultimately, there aren't that many captains in general in baseball. I mean, it's not something that happens very often. I think there may be two others in baseball now. So it's not like a thing. Okay. Maybe it's a New York Yankee thing. And so, you know, I think it's a media driven discussion that maybe, has gotten a little too loud.
Media-driven discussion. Didn't Mendy talk about it in spring training and Lindor talk about it? I guess the media asked the question, so maybe it was media-driven. I think the captaincy thing is completely overrated, and I agree with Steve. It needs to be organic. And right now, everything's working. So when things are working, why change anything? Now, one guy who has not performed to the expectations of many Met fans is Juan Soto. His numbers are, you know what I would say his numbers are? They're Beltran 05-like. If you look back to what Carlos Beltran did in his first year with the New York Mets in 2005. Now, I have pure confidence that that will change. He's hit the ball hard plenty. He's also woken up really over the last week or so. Had a very productive series against the Nationals. Hasn't hit a lot of home runs. Hasn't driven in a lot of runs. Isn't shuffling a lot. But I'm not overly concerned. In fact, when they're winning and you're 21-9, it makes it that much sweeter. But Steve was asked about the early season struggles of Juan Soto.
You know, I mean, if you ask him, he'd probably say it's not, you know, not going as, you know, what he hoped. You know, that's not what his back of his baseball card would say. But saying that, there's a lot of subtle things that he does that I, you know, really think matters. The way that he works a count, you know, makes pitchers throw extra pitches, you know, really matters. Then he gets on base and then Pete can drive him in. And so Pete's seen better pitches. And so, you know, it's very subtle how that works, and you just can't just look at it as, you know, in a very narrow sense. And saying that, listen, I'm not worried about Juan. I mean, he is singularly focused on baseball. He's a pure hitter, and, you know, let's have this discussion at the end of the year.
You've obviously spent a lot of money. Payroll is...
Sorry. All right. Sorry, John. Don't mean to cut you off. The great John Heyman, ladies and gentlemen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
He is right. Now, ultimately, you are judged by your performance and you're judged by your overall stats and you're judged by your OPS and obviously team success as well. But he's 1,000% right. Juan Soto's impact on this team has already been felt even with a subpar batting average and not enough RBIs. Pete Alonso is having the best stretch of his career. Do we think that having Soto in front of him has nothing to do with it? We think that him being on base after a 8-pitch walk has nothing to do with it. He is being impacted positively by Juan Soto. You know who else is being impacted positively by Juan Soto? Francisco Lindor, who for the first time in forever is actually raking in April. And even the defense, I know he gets a lot of crap for the missunned fly ball and obviously the fly ball deep right game, one of the Washington series that went off his glove. But how about the runs he saved in the finale against the Phillies with his arm? And he does have a good arm in right field. So it's minor, and this is not to make excuses. Of course, eventually he's got a hit. But I'm a Met fan. I'm not a Juan Soto fan. I'm a Met fan first. I'm a Met fan before I'm a Pete Alonso fan. I'm a Met fan before I'm a Jacob DeGrom fan. As much as I love Jake, like, trust me, I want the Mets to succeed. It'd be great if Jacob DeGrom was here winning the Cy Young. It'd be great if Juan Soto was going to win the MVP. But ultimately, and I think most of us feel this way, basically everyone feels this way, I just want to win. And so those things impact on winning. It matters because what's unhealthy to do as a sports fan, and this is with every sport, I'll say this to Knicks fans right now. When you're watching a guy play basketball or baseball, when you're watching them play, not when you're talking about them the next day with your friends at a bar, when you're watching them play, don't think about how much money they're making. Don't think about how many draft picks you gave up for them. Because ultimately, all that matters is, and this is all that matters, is that guy helping my team win. I will give you a basketball analogy. If the Knicks win an NBA championship, okay, now we know that's not going to happen, but if they do win an NBA championship and Mikal Bridges averages 7 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and has a minimal impact, but he does have an impact. Sets a mean screen, play some defense, and the Knicks win an NBA championship, right? Would you give two craps how many draft picks you gave up for him? Or would you say, I don't care, I won the world, I won the NBA Finals? No. You would say, I don't care, I won the NBA Finals. So let's use it with us, right? Let's make this simple. If Juan Soto hits 242 this year with 19 home runs, 75 RBIs, and 801 OPS, and has a mediocre postseason, but we're naked on a parade in October because we won the World Series first in my lifetime. First in a lot of you guys listening's lifetime. Are we going to sit there thinking about how much money Juan Soto makes? It wasn't worth it. If you are, I don't want to tell you. So I do agree with Steve. He's made a winning impact. One last clip from Cohen, then we'll get to some of your emails. TheRicoB@gmail.com. Steve Cohen was asked about sustained success. And bringing the Met fan, you and I, everyone listening to the Rico, that change of us having sustained success, because the Mets never have. Like, if they make the playoffs this year, which better happen, it'll be the first time in the history of the franchise they're in the playoffs 3 times in 4 years. It's never happened. It'll only be the third time they made the playoffs in back-to-back years. So we are already seeing a form of sustained success in the Steve Cohen era, despite the two under 500 seasons mixed in 21 and 23. So Steve was asked about sustained success, and listen to what he says about the tortured history of the New York Mets.
I just want to be a record. I couldn't care less about the history. Yep. Okay. I mean, it's irrelevant to me. It means nothing. Okay. And so this is, you know, a new regime, a new management, new beliefs in how we operate And I like the direction we're going. And a lot of great people in this organization. And we still have a ways to go to continue to build the infrastructure. It doesn't happen just in a couple of years. And so, but we're definitely making progress, and I think you're seeing it. And so I think it's a great combination of great talent. You know, obviously we have the ability to spend. And so, you know, fans are a little bit, I describe it as they have PTSD. You know, they've had, a tough road over a long period of time. But, I don't have it, and I don't think that way. And I'm going to put the best product I can on the field.
So if I played that for you without context, right, and just have you listen to the part where he says, I could care less about the team's history, you would think Jeff Wilpon rebought the team. Like, you would think to yourself, what? You don't care about our history? Obviously, context is king. And the context is not he doesn't care about Doc Gooden, or he doesn't care about George Thomas Seaver, or he doesn't care about Edgardo Alfonso. That is a direct shot at the Wilpon era. And that is a reminder there's a new sheriff in town. And I get it. You don't want to be held responsible for the sins of someone else's past. And that's what he's saying. And he's right. Now, he talks about Met fans having PTSD. He's also right about that. Like, you can't blame me or you or anyone else for thinking back to our history, even if it isn't Steve Cohen's fault. Like, both things can be true. The only way for Steve Cohen to change that is to win. And so far, they're winning. If the New York Mets make the playoffs this season, and they better, I think that's fair to say, that not only at 21-9, but certainly with the preseason expectations and with three wildcard teams, which we have to factor in this discussion, they will have made the playoffs in three of the five seasons Steve Cohen owns the New York Mets. Now, the 2 years they didn't were out-and-out disasters, including one that said Pete Crow Armstrong for Javier Baez. That one looks just awful, but I can't even get annoyed about it. It sucks, but it is what it is. Far worse than Jared Kelnick, who's now in the minor leagues again. But three out of five and sustained success. And hey, we'll go out and go after a top free agent and we'll bring him in. So he's right when he says it, but it is tough for us as Met fans to forget about our history. Good stuff from Steve Cohen and good stuff from John Heyman and Joel Sherman. They interviewed him on their podcast. Let's get to some of your emails. Ed Flood writes, Tax Pen. It seems like the best way to save our bullpen is the offense just scoring a million runs where we can use one reliever and it doesn't matter if they give up a bunch of runs. It's working now, but eventually Mendy's got to push these guys further. Also, with AJ Minter likely done, why don't we sign David Robertson? I know he's a righty, but if I recall, he had reverse splits and was still very good last year. David Robertson's a fascinating name, because he's still out there. He's not retired. He was effective. He can get lefties out with his changeup. Like, you're not wrong. So I would advise, and I'm sure the Mets are, do your research. Tell me if you think he has anything left. And he would not be a bad addition. Obviously, the Mets have some internal options. We talked about Brooks Raley, who's on his way back probably another month. And even Dednell Nunez. Because Dednell Nunez is a guy who, while he hasn't been great at AAA, we can't forget how well he pitched last year. Steven writes, man, it's great to be a Met fan. With a win like Tuesday against the Diamondbacks, while they should never be taken for granted, are these types of wins championship ball clubs play with? Welcome, Kevin Hergert, to the big club. Long live the Rico. I think the defense was championship caliber, that's for sure, when you make plays like that. Mark Gray writes, hey guys, if Alonso continues to be a prolific slugger for the remainder of his career, would you agree that he'll eventually make the Hall of Fame? Currently, his stats are eerily similar to Harmon Killebrew, who was inducted in 1984. Yeah, they put that graphic up on SNY last night. If Pete eventually ends up in Cooperstown, that would mean the Mets currently have three future Hall of Famers in their everyday lineup, Lindor, Soto, Alonso. The only other Met team that had three potential Hall of Famers was the 2005-11 Mets with Mike Piazza, David Wright, and Carlos Beltran. Beltran might get in soon, but unfortunately, Wright has a long way to go to make it. So this current team may very well be the only Met team with three Hall of Famers on it. If MVP Pete can keep crushing it, can any of us even imagine the damage this lineup will do if and when Soto starts mashing? I'm not doing the Hall of Fame discussion. I mean, we got a long way to go. I don't think even Lindor is a lock yet. I think he's on his way. I think clearly Soto's on his way. Pete needs to have a few monster years to get in that Hall of Fame discussion. I will say, Mark, the one discussion that is interesting to have, more so than the Hall of Fame, because it's so much more has to happen before we get there, is where this lineup ranks in Mets history. And does it have a chance to be one of the best offenses we've ever seen? 2006 was very special. And don't forget Carlos Delgado. You mentioned the Hall of Famers. Carlos Delgado's numbers look like a Hall of Famer. So when I think of great Met lineups, I love the 99 team when you had Ricky Henderson having a monster year, Fonzie in the prime of his career, Piazza in the prime of his career, Olerud in the prime of his career, Ventura. That was a hell of a lineup. But yeah, this one has a chance to be very, very good. No doubt. Michael writes, it's currently the top of the sixth inning, and Jose Buteau has come in for David Peterson. It's hard to find anything to complain about, but we're Met fans, so let me find a way. In all seriousness, the only complaint is the Met starters aren't pitching much past the fifth inning. Can this really hold up, or is that a problem that Carlos isn't pushing the starters into the sixth or seventh inning? David Peterson only threw 85 pitches. Yes, he gave up a run in the fifth, but he had a seven-run lead. If the Mets are going to keep their starters an extra day off, what's wrong with having them pitch 15 to 20 more pitches? Mike in the Bronx. I am good with pushing starting pitchers. Every situation is different, though. Okay? So we got to go case by case. So you want to talk about David Peterson last night? Let's do it. They had a big run lead. They had a big lead. I'll give you that. His pitch count was only 85. I'll give you that. He looked done. Like, do you really think, based on the way he was throwing, based on the contact against him, based on the fact the heart of the order was coming up, third time around the order, do you think David Peterson was getting through the sixth inning? My guess is no. And if he gets into trouble, and now there's 2-1 and nobody out, now you're going to Jose Buteau, who just blew a game in a similar spot. Now you're at least giving him a clean inning to try to get his head right with an 8-1 lead, as opposed to here's Jose Buteau with an 8-2 lead and 2-1 and one out. So we have to go case by case. Yes, I'd like the starters to go longer, but we got to go individual performance by individual performance. In the case of David Peterson on Tuesday night, I think he made the right call. Game two will feature Brandon Waddell and a bunch of relievers. Game three will feature Kodai Senga as the Mets look to continue to roll against the Arizona Diamondbacks. We got a few more Ricos coming up. We'll try to do a drive home, assuming everything goes okay, after the Mets-Diamondbacks game on Wednesday night. Oh, by the way, I should mention, it's on our graphic screen on YouTube, but Waskar Brazoban is going to be the opener again. So they're going to run that same strategy they ran a couple weeks ago where they go Brazoban as the opener, and then they go to their bulk guy. Last time it was Hagenman. My friend on the text chat the other day says they should just call up the Hangman. That's what he called him. The Hangman. Who, by the way, stinks in the minor leagues. Hagenman was great for the Mets in that one performance, but he goes out of the minor leagues. He gives up six or seven runs. So Brazoban will be the opener, and then we'll get a lefty named Brandon Waddell who's going to return to the majors for the first time in 4 years. So we shall see. So we got a few more Ricos coming up. We'll give you our series recap Rico at some point Thursday. That'll be wherever you download your podcast or if you want to check it out on YouTube. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, and subscribing to another brand new edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.